Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I'm very happy to be with you this beautiful morning here in Vancouver. You might be listening on CITR 101.9 FM or online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today, last week I mentioned that I spoke with Dr. Wayne Dyer and did a pre-recorded interview. So this morning I'm going to be playing that interview on the air for you, and then I will be giving away a pair of tickets to see Dr. Wayne Dyer November 23rd at the Queen Elizabeth Theater sometime during this hour. So listen for the cue to call. After the Wayne Dyer interview, we are going to be speaking with Jay Bedella about halfway through the show. He is the founder of UEND.org, and you may remember him if you are an early listener of the early episodes of Synchronicity. He was on talking about his organization, ChristmasFuture.org, and during that interview, he also let us know that he is going to be expanding the site so that it's usable all year round. And so that's what UEND.org is, and it is an organization that is designed to help end extreme poverty, because so many people on this planet are living on less than $1 or $2 a day, and that's just not acceptable. So one of the UEND.org is actually one of the charities that is benefiting from Wayne Dyer's appearance here in Vancouver on November 23rd. It is a nonprofit event. Well, I don't know exactly how much of it is going to the charities and how much is going to the organizers, but they are getting financial benefit from Wayne Dyer coming here. So Jay Bedella is going to be speaking about that and why you should come and see Wayne Dyer, so that because it is all going to a good cause. So I'm going to play his interview without further ado. Here is Dr. Wayne Dyer on Synchronicity. So I am here with Dr. Wayne Dyer, who is coming to Vancouver November 23rd. He'll be at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. Welcome to the show, Dr. Dyer.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Thanks so much. I am so excited to speak with you. I actually met you the last time you were in Vancouver a couple of years ago, and you recorded a brief introduction for this show. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. How's the show doing?
It's wonderful. Well, I'm interviewing you now, so I guess it's doing quite well.
Well, good.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So, Dr. Dyer, I want to talk to you about the Ambition to Meaning event that you're going to be doing here in Vancouver. But before I do that, I wanted to ask you a question about ego, because I know that you focus a lot on clearing the ego and the pattern or negative habits of thought, and I'm just curious what your opinion is. Is there still a place for the ego?
Well, if there wasn't, all of us would just be spirits, and there'd be no people here.
Okay.
there must be a place for it, but it's really not worth defending. It's what Muktananda called the false self. It's the part of us that really believes that who we are is not this divine, perfect being that is a piece of God from which we originated, but comes into the world and is trained to believe, that we are what we collect, and we are what we accomplish, and we are what other people think of us, and we're all separate from each other, and we're all separate from God, and so on. And these kinds of beliefs really don't serve us at all. They serve mostly to keep us from reaching our highest potentiality. They keep us constantly in a state of competition. They keep us constantly in a feeling of having to accomplish more and to strive, never arriving, and always comparing ourselves to other people, and basically never being satisfied and never being happy. So if we can tame that ego, I always call the ego the word EGO, the acronym for edging God out, or Earth Guide Only. But what we are, we're not here as human beings with egos having a spiritual experience once in a while on Sunday mornings. Basically, essentially, we're all spiritual beings, infinite spiritual beings, having a temporary human experience. And I think understanding that and recognizing that, like, who you are right now, who I'm talking to, Marie, and who you're talking to a man who's 70 years old and has been in many, many different bodies, you know, since I was born in 1940. I was in a little baby body. I was in a 3-year-old body, a 20-year-old body, and on and on and on, all of these bodies. And again, Muktananda said, that is real, which never changes. So the part of us that never changes certainly isn't our bodies, because we just keep occupying new bodies all the time. And that's the part of us that I address, the part of us that never changes, the infinite, the spiritual part of us. And that ego part is hardly worth defending at all.
Okay, fair enough. That's a wonderful answer. Thank you so much, Dr. Dyer. And I'm also curious, because I know that when you were a child, you experienced some challenges, that you were in an orphanage for a time. And you also have described how it sounds like you were quite just naturally an optimistic kid who kind of made the most out of your situation. But what advice do you have for people who are more naturally kind of pessimistic?
Well, naturally isn't pessimistic. Naturally, it's more learned. You know, if you are pessimistic, if you see the glass as half empty, if you anticipate, you know, that things aren't going to work out, that the world is a dangerous and an unfriendly place, those are all pessimistic points of view, but all they are is just thoughts. And I would recommend that you begin to examine those thoughts and ask yourself, if you become what you think about, you know, as you think, as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you become what you think about, and what you're thinking about is what's wrong, or what's missing, or what isn't working out, or what isn't going to work out, then what you're really doing is attracting more and more of what you don't want into your life, because the universe sort of aligns with you and offers you up experiences that match up to the thoughts that you have. So change your thoughts and you change your life. It's the name of a book that I wrote about the Tao Te Ching. And so I would just urge people to go within, examine any thoughts that they have which are tied into not being able to attract into your life what you want, or thinking that the world is an unfriendly place, or thinking that things are that it's an evil place, and so on. And begin to just change those thoughts around. Just internally, just begin to say to yourself affirmations. The world supports me. I live in a friendly universe. And Einstein said one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself is to decide, what kind of a world do you live in? Do you live in a world that you believe is friendly and supports you? Or do you live in a world that you believe is against you and working towards your defeat? And if you believe that you're in that kind of a world, then you'll see it everywhere. But if you believe that you're in a world that supports you, you'll be looking for that support, and your life will just be much happier.
And Dr. Dyer, do you have any tips for, obviously affirmations can be very powerful, and at the same time, so many of us will say an affirmation and then our ego or whatever it is inside of us that's that little negative chatty person will be like, no, that's not true, you suck, or whatever. So what tips do you have in addition to affirmations to kind of break that cycle? So you say an affirmation and then the negative thought comes up, how do you react to that?
Well, I think you have to react to remember that anything that comes up, as you put it, or any of the reaction that doesn't seem to hold for you, is really just more of your training. It's these are memes, you know, which are like mind viruses that are placed into your life and into your head when you're very, very young, little boys and little girls. All of the limitations, all the things that you can't do, all of the restrictions that you'll have, all of the bad luck, all of the fact that you were born poor and you'll stay poor, all of the fact that you're sick and you can't do anything about that. And then begin to not only to have the affirmations, but begin to act out on those affirmations, you know, to practice looking for something positive in somebody else. Practice seeing the unfolding of God in anyone that you encounter, rather than seeing what you don't like. Practice not being so critical of other people, and instead looking for the good in them. Practice with your children, catching them doing things right, and reminding them how great they are and how much you love them, rather than constantly focusing on what's wrong. Because the more you focus on what they can't do and on what's wrong and what you don't like, the more you just encourage that kind of behavior. They become what they hear and what they think about as well. It's a new way of being. It's a new way of thinking, and it's like doing a somersault almost, and landing in a new reality, a reality which says all things are possible, a reality which says this is the only day that I have, and I'm going to enjoy it and make the absolute most out of it. An attitude that says I'm grateful. I'm grateful for not only the positive things that show up in my life, but for the negative things as well, because they're my greatest teachers as well. And even the people around me that don't agree with me and I find had difficulty with, these are very often your soulmates, the people that are teaching you and showing you day in and day out how much work you have to do on yourself. And stay close to God. That's my greatest tip. Remember that God is not something external to you. That you must be like what you came from, and what you came from a divine source, and you'll return to a divine source. You know, the poet reminds us that we shall not cease from exploration, but at the end of all of our exploring will be to return to the place from which we originated, but to know it for the first time. That was T.S. Eliot. He was speaking about dying, but I think I'm speaking more about living from that divine spiritual place all the time, and seeing yourself as a spiritual being rather than as a human being having a little bit of a spiritual experience.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Dyer. And I'm curious, one listener would like to know, I know that you get up very early in the morning, and one listener would like to know, what do you say to yourself? What's the first thing that you tell yourself when you get up in the morning?
First thing I say is thank you. I say it every morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you for my breath. Thank you for the fact that I have another day to live. I have another morning to be alive. If you see my film, The Shift, it opens with that line when I wake up. And The Shift originally was called Ambition to Meaning, but now it's a movie with Portia de Rossi and myself and several other great actors. And I just stay in a state of gratitude from the very, very opening time I open my eyes. I say, thank you, God, for this day.
Beautiful. And do you find at this point, you're now 70, and you've obviously been practicing this for a long time, but do you still have negative thoughts that come up?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm constantly working on myself. I have struggles. I have 8 children. I have leukemia. I've had heart disease. I've had separation from my wife and divorce. I've had addictions, and there are temptations all the time. But by and large, I allow that. Instead of seeing myself as just having a little tiny speck of God inside of me that I consult once in a while, like on a Sunday morning, I try to move that to more of like a segment or a larger portion of myself, so that I can remember that I am God in action. You know, I am not separate, ever separate from God, and reminding myself that that's who I am. You know, that it keeps those negative thoughts at bay.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that you're doing all right with your treatment for the leukemia right now.
I'm doing fine. I'm here, and I'm breathing, and I'm alive, and I'm getting ready to go in the ocean and swim, and this is the only day I have.
And, beautiful.
You know, there's not a person out there listening, and there's not an animal out there or a tree or anything that's here on this planet or in this universe that doesn't go through the same 4 steps. You go through birth, and then growth, and then decay, and then death. But the part of you that is in there that just keeps occupying all new places, that part of us never dies. And that's who I am. That's where I do most of my living.
Beautifully said. Thank you. And Dr. Dyer, when you come to Vancouver on November 23rd, many of the people in the audience are going to be fans who've read your books, they've seen you on television, they've been to your events before. But what can you say to people who haven't experienced your work? What are they going to take home with them if they come to your event on November 23rd?
Well, hopefully they'll take home a set of beliefs that... I open my talk usually with this idea that if you wouldn't show up at a talk like this or even listen to this interview if there wasn't a part of you that really wanted to elevate your life, to improve it, to move to a higher place. And in order to elevate your life in any way, you have to change your concept of yourself. Now, your concept of yourself is everything that you believe to be true. And everything that you believe to be true has gotten you to where you are. But if you'd like to get to a higher place, you have to start looking within and challenging many of the things that you have come to believe are true about who you are, what you can do, what's possible for you, what kinds of things that you can accomplish, and so on. You have to change what you have come to believe is true. And hopefully they will leave with an idea of some things to think about themselves that they may never have thought of as true, that they are all miracles. And miracle workers, and that the lines from Jesus in the New Testament, that even the least among you can do all that I have done and even greater things, is something that they should begin to take literally, that they can indeed perform miracles and manifest what they want into their lives.
And that brings up a question for me, Dr. Dyer, regarding manifestation. So many people seek out spirituality these days. Many people have seen like a movie like The Secret, and they think, okay, well, in order to get more money or a new car, I have to do these things, these more spiritual things, to kind of line up with the energy of that. And I'm just wondering how you respond to that aspect of the law of attraction.
Well, I don't really think that you get what you want. I think you get what you are, and you attract into your life what you are. So if you want to attract abundance and prosperity into your life, you have to be it, and you have to take your focus off of yourself and what's in it for you, and begin to think like God thinks, because the source of all creation is in a divine source of some kind, call it God or spirit or the Tao, it doesn't matter. And you have to act like that, which means that instead of asking, you're much more in giving. Instead of having a mantra that says, what's in it for me and how can I get more, you begin to say, how may I serve? What may I do for you? And when you get to that place and you're acting that way, everything else that you need for your life, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a new car in the driveway or a new fancy watch on your wrist. It can be just the great inner satisfaction of knowing that you have improved the quality of life for someone else. Can't really ask for much more than that.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Dyer. I know you're very busy, so I appreciate you taking time from your day to speak with us here at Synchronicity. And I just want to ask you if there's anything else that you'd like to add.
No, I just have to tell everyone that I love them. That'd be fine.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we love you too.
Thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate talking to you.
Thanks, Dr. Dyer, and I'll see you on November 23rd.
Great.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that was Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he is going to be here in Vancouver on November 23rd. He'll be at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre, and tickets are still available. If you would like a discount, then you just punch in the discount code SOUL when you purchase your tickets online. And I believe seniors and students also get a 20% discount. Thank you so much for listening. This has been an interview with Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'm Marie Bernard here on Synchronicity, CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And that was my interview with Dr. Wayne Dyer. Such a pleasure to speak with him. I was so nervous when we were talking because he's just one of my big heroes and I've wanted to interview him for so long. So anyway, we are going to go to a break right now, and that means I have time to give away one pair of tickets to see Dr. Wayne Dyer November 23rd here in Vancouver at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. Great seats. So give me a call right now. One listener is going to win that pair of tickets, 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. Give me a call right now during the break for your chance to win a pair of Wayne Dyer tickets. Back in a flash.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
and Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM. Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with me today, and congratulations to the listener who is going to see Dr. Wayne W. Dyer. That's Jennifer going to see Wayne Dyer on November 23rd here in Vancouver at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. Hooray! And I have a few minutes left before Jay Baydala is up on the air to speak about UN.org. So I'm going to play some music for you here on Synchronicity.
Smell of our time, placed upon your chest. chest. A beauty unsurpassable, and one not to forget the rush. But your eyes are closed. My heart begins to stop. The sound of perfection hits, and I know this is love, the rush. As I lay down with you for the last time, I go through my memories, and I will be all right. The hardest thing try to say goodbye with dreams that crash like open waves under light-filled skies. The sweetest smell of autumn placed upon your chest, a beauty unsurpassable, and one not to forget the rush.
That's famous stuff. A lot of celebrities use that. Radio announcers and everything. Beauty is behind.
CITR Scenic Drive every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon. CITR.
Welcome back to Synchronicity on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. And just to let you know, the music I was playing, that last song was by Michelle Dumond from her Moondrops Mantra CD. The song before that was Sweetest Smell of Autumn by Canadian band Makeshift Innocence. And then the first song I played was by Cantoria. And that is the daughter and father, Mark and Zoe Fenster. So anyway, we have our interview up on the line now. Jay Bedala from UN.org. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Marie. It's fantastic to join you.
So we've spoken before. It's a pleasure to have you on for the second time. And the reason I just played Dr. Wayne Dyer's interview that I did with him the other day, and so that's why I wanted to have you on today, because you are one of the organizations that is benefiting from his trip to Vancouver.
Absolutely. Yeah. The organizing group that brings in Wayne Dyer has selected us to help further the good work that we're doing in the world, because they believe that we're aligned.
Wonderful. And so do you know, I'm not quite sure how much of the event is going to the charities. I imagine it also costs a lot to produce it. Do you know what kind of percentage of ticket sales are going to you guys?
It varies. If people enter a certain code when they purchase the tickets online, they will give 10% of that towards the charity. But more importantly, we get to be on site and there to talk to the people that are actually interested in changing the world and ending global poverty. So it's the perfect venue for us.
Wonderful. Well, so tell us about UN.org, because not everybody heard your interview way back when, it was a couple of years ago now, about ChristmasFuture.org. And now UN.org, it's kind of developed into this much bigger site with a wider perspective. So tell us what UN.org is about.
You bet. So UN started based around the idea that, generally speaking, in North America, we feel like we have enough stuff. We have enough. So we feel trapped in a lot of ways by our stuff, and we feel trapped by the traditions of having to buy more stuff for other people, especially during celebration and type seasons, birthdays, weddings, and Christmas, most notably in North America. So the concept is pretty straightforward. If we could find a way to keep the gifting tradition, which is a beautiful tradition, it's a way to say I love you. So if we can find a way to keep that, but not reinforce the buying of more shiny, sparkly stuff that we don't need or even want, then we might have a way out of two kinds of poverty. The poverty in North America, which is the poverty of meaning and connection, but also if we refocus that spending towards really great initiatives in the developing world that address the poorest nations and the poorest communities in the world, then we'd be addressing both poverties at once. And that's essentially what UN poverty is all about, empowering the individual, you, to refocus some of your gift spending to give a different kind of a gift to someone that you love, a gift card from the UN website, where the recipient then takes that gift card and chooses a project from the developing world that will actually end global poverty or help to end poverty in that community, and then they can watch the world change online.
So, Jay, it's interesting. I was speaking with you at the Deepak Chopra event in Vancouver, and right after that, I was really excited about UN poverty, and so someone on Facebook had asked about getting a gift for someone, you know, can you give me gift ideas? And I was like, yeah, go to UN.org. And she responded with, well, this person doesn't have a lot of money. I want to get her a real gift. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's the beautiful thing, is there's no rules out here, and love dictates what is good. So if she actually feels it's a more loving thing to give that person something that they need or want, perfect. If they actually need or want something, that's fantastic. Like, that's where gifting is perfect. But the flip side of that, I've had a similar question is, you know, if you give someone a gift card, what do they really get out of it? Like, what's the real gift, you know? And to me, it actually is a gift to be able to put money on a project and watch the world change. That's a gift. It's so exciting to actually participate in the world changing in a very real way, and then actually get to watch it change online with videos and photos. Like, that is a gift as well. So it's not either or, it can be and.
So Jay, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the people you're really targeting are those people who buy gift cards because they don't know what to get people. People have everything already.
Yeah, it's an interesting time that we're in North America, where we have so much. We have so much, and we don't even realize how much that we have. I think the statistics are something like, if you have a roof over your head, you drive a vehicle, and you have a job, that you're in the top 5% wealthiest people in the world. So, wow, we are the richest people in the world. And we want a way out of that sort of trap of, we have so much, but we're also disconnected from each other. We don't know each other well enough to know what the other needs or wants, because, well, I don't know what you need because I don't spend enough time with you because we're sort of disconnected. And at the same time, you don't really need anything because we already have everything. So what do we do in that scenario, you know? And I think we're trying to find the way out of that particular trap.
Okay. And so also, you mentioned last time you were here, the number, like, how much money do North Americans spend on gifts at Christmas, just at Christmas time? And then how much money are you saying that we would need to put towards the issue of poverty to solve it?
Yeah, and that's a great point. Like, that's what really caught my attention and hooked me on this thing. When I found out that in North America alone, so the U.S. and Canada, we spend over $1 trillion on retail and wholesale during the holiday season. So $1,000 billion.
In one year?
In one season.
Wow.
So some of that money goes to other things, et cetera. It's retail and wholesale stats. There's varying numbers and reports, anywhere from $250 billion to, like I said, $1 trillion. But it's a lot of money. And on the flip side, the World Bank at the time, this was 2007 or 2008, they were saying that about $50 billion a year for 15 years would be enough to probably get the poorest countries out of poverty in a lasting way. So 5% of what we spend in one Christmas per year for about 15 years, one out of 20 gifts, would be enough to end global poverty. And when I heard that, it just, the lights went on for me. I don't have to do it all. I don't have to give up all of my gifts or give all of my gifts this way. But if I just did one out of 20, if I was a 5%er, we could actually collectively end global poverty.
And so the last time you were on the show speaking about Christmas future, you mentioned that it's not, because we talked about how money just gets kind of dumped into the wrong places and a lot of it gets spent unwisely. So how does UEND.org make sure that the money that people essentially donate, gift, gets spent and put towards the people who really need it, where it's actually making a real difference and not just kind of feeding the cycle of poverty?
Exactly. Yeah, statistics and different reports will show that if it's, we're talking about government to government aid, only 15%, 1/5, actually gets to the people that need it. And it's a big, big problem. So what one of our central philosophies at UEND Poverty is that it's all about the people doing it, you taking responsibility, and not just you in North America, but you in the developing world as well. So here we empower people to throw in their $5 or $10 or $20 bills and re-gift. But in the developing world, how we empower people is we choose organizations that are already in those communities, that already know the traditions, the cultures, the way things actually work, and that are actually empowering the people in those communities to define and solve their own problems. We find those organizations and we put gas in their tanks. We actually put the money towards those projects and those organizations. So in that way, the money doesn't go through governments and get caught up in bureaucracy. We're actually focusing on the smaller, well-oiled, very efficient, very passionate organizations that are close to the ground. So the money gets to the ground. And on this side, in the developed world, we take 0% overhead. We say, you know, you want to give $50 to that project, you choose the project, you put it on there, and we're saying 100% goes to that project. We're not taking anything. And we allow you to choose to participate if you want to help keep the organization going, but we don't force you to. We don't make a default choice for you. We let you choose.
And then people, if they don't know where to donate, they can just say, like, do whatever you want with it, right?
Exactly. Sometimes it can just be overwhelming to try and sort it out. Sometimes people are really passionate about certain causes or certain locations in the world, and they know where they want to put their money. But other people are just starting to dabble and starting to understand what's going on in the world. So we try to make it easy for them to just click a button and say, you know what, this is a really great idea, but please, can you figure this out for me? And then UN takes it over from there, and we find the great projects to put it towards.
And so, Jay, what type of projects, because I remember last time we spoke, I asked you about chickens. Mm. At Christmas time, you can donate to organizations that ship chickens to these developing countries. And it actually, you brought up a point that putting a bunch of chickens there can actually totally, like, negatively impact their economy.
Yeah, that is certainly a risk. Not that giving chicken is a bad idea. Like, those are fantastic ideas, and if it's done properly, it's a great way to start to change a community. But there are a lot of risks associated with that. If you're bringing in chickens from the outside, you could destroy an entire economic base and trading system around the chicken market in that area. But an even broader concern, or thing to think about, I guess, is how are we looking at this community or group of people as a whole and not just putting little band-aids everywhere? So chicken would be a great thing if thought of in the greater context of that community moving forward in a holistic way and a lasting way. So not just chickens, but maybe the first step is agriculture, and that builds something for them to then sell, which then allows them to feed their own kids, and then maybe get chickens and livestock, which can feed off of that and just keep the cycle going. So it's a more holistic approach is necessary rather than these one-off projects.
So Jay, what are some of your top favorite projects that UN.org is affiliated with right now?
Sure. It's really interesting how the global community in international development is, it seems like we're all getting to the same point where we're recognizing how important and crucial the empowerment of women is in solving global poverty and changing the world for good. So, for example, I don't know if you've heard of something called the Girl Effect. You can Google Girl Effect and you'll come up with a charity, but you'll also come up with different videos talking about the different statistics around this. The fact that if you educate a boy, that's great, you educate a boy. If you educate a girl for 5 years, you actually educate her, her family, and her community. She has less children. She has children later in life. She educates her kids when she gets to that age. She's healthier. She doesn't have as many maternal health issues. Just amazing effects come from educating and empowering women.
And it's
so towards. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
so towards that particular issue, microcredit, small loans to impoverished people so that they can start their own businesses. Microcredit lending is one of my favorite things. In the right scenario, in the right situation, it's one of my favorite types of initiatives that are going on right now, because 95% of microcredit at this juncture goes to women, because women pay it back and they invest it in their family and their community. So women do great things with this money. So talk about empowering people. I've seen so many stories of women who were previously full of shame and would hide in huts when you come into a village, that now run out to meet people and are proud of themselves and are adding value to their family and their communities and feel so great about themselves. It's miraculous.
Oh, that is like so inspiring. And what I was going to say is just about how statistically women, at least in the developing world, I don't know about North America, but women pay their loans back much more often than men do.
Yeah, I think some of the statistics are that if you give a man a loan, he'll put 70% back into his family in repayment, but he'll also blow about 30% on drugs and prostitution and alcohol and gambling, those kinds of things. Not that men are bad people, but that's just the statistics. So, when you invest in a woman, the stats are in. They do the right thing.
Wonderful. Well, it's time for a break. So we are speaking with Jay Baydala from the website uend.org. That's the letter U, E-N-D.org. And that is for the organization UEND Poverty. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a flash.
The AMS Speakeasy provides information, peer counseling, and crisis support to the UBC community. Speakeasy volunteers are carefully chosen and trained to assist students in dealing with a wide range of issues, including relationship breakups, substance abuse, sexuality, and exam stress. To access our service for information or counseling, drop in to visit our desk on the north side of the sub-concourse. All drop-ins and call-ins are strictly confidential. We also have an online email referral service. If we can't help you, we can refer you to someone who can.
I'm troubled by shapeless fears. Who can live in the modern world without catching his share of them? I hope I've landed on my feet this time.
Need a place to rent? Have a place for rent? AMS Rents Line can help. AMS Rents Line is an easy-to-operate, touch-tone, and web-based system that connects thousands of landlords with UBC students looking for off-campus housing. UBC students can search the ads for free or place a two-week posting for $5. To view current listings, visit www.amsrentsline.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we have a very special guest speaking with us right now, Jay Baydala. He is the founder of the website uend.org, and it is for UEND Poverty, helping to end extreme poverty in the world. And you had mentioned, Jay, I don't know if you mentioned it today, but last time you were on the show, you said most of the world lives on less than what, $1, $2 a day?
The majority of the world lives on under $2 a day. It's pretty shocking to think about how many people live in those conditions, yeah.
I spent more than that on my coffee this morning.
I know, it's pretty shocking. I just actually got back from Liberia and Sierra Leone, arguably two of the poorest countries in the world. And it's so motivating for me to go and see how hard people are working in situations that are pretty tough, and then comparing it to my situation here and how easy it is for me to do things and accomplish things here in North America, how much leverage I have compared to the amount of leverage they would have. And what it would take me an hour to do here, it would take a month to do there. So it's so motivating to even put in an hour or, you know, move something ahead, just what I think is a little bit, but it's so much compared to how fast they can move things there.
And so what do you say to the people, because we are in the top 5% of the wealth of the world.
Yeah.
And even if you, I heard, like, because you mentioned, you know, driving a car, having a roof over your head, mm-hmm. but a lot of us don't drive here in Vancouver. But if you have change in your sofa, you're wealthier than most of the world. But a lot of us here in Canada and in the U.S. are struggling financially right now. We're in the middle of a recession. So how can people who feel like they're not that abundant right now kind of change their perspective and still want to reach out and help those who are living on far, far less?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, there's so much that is relative, and we are in a recession in Canada, North America, and there are tough times for a lot of people. What I reflect on in my own life is how little it takes here for me to make a massive difference there. And it's so easy for me to think I can't give anything or I can't participate in any way because I'd need to put in at least this much money to make a difference. But the magic is that it doesn't take more than $1, $2, $5 to make a dramatic impact in the developing world. For example, a small loan to a woman in the developing world of $100 will actually change her life and her family's life forever, because it will break them out of that cycle of poverty back into a place where they have control and choice in their life. $100 can change a person and a family's life forever. And when I start thinking that way, you know, I can participate definitely. And if I don't have $100, which I don't, I can talk to 10 of my friends or 20 of my friends and say, hey, what do you think? Would you like to participate with me and each of us give $5 each? So instead of tonight having that extra pint, drowning my sorrows because it's a recession, we each kick in that one pint or that one latte or that one whatever and actually make a dramatic impact in the world. It's interesting how much leverage we have and we don't even realize it. That change in the couch could change someone's life.
Wow. And so, Jay, I'm curious, can you explain to us the difference? Because I am a member, or I loan money through Kiva.org. And
yeah.
So I just have like a $25 credit. And every 6 months or every year or so, I get that money back and I'm able to re-loan it out to another family or group of women or whatever, and then they pay it back essentially to me. What happens with the money at UN.org through these micro-lending organizations?
Sure. So we've got a few different setups but with the different implementing organizations, but generally the way it works is that we allow our participants to give money to those trust banks, and then when that loan is repaid, the money is kept there and they re-loan it out again. So it's one step sort of removed from the actual choice each time. It's abstracted from that, where we put it in and then the bank is empowered to continue to increase those loans and give out to different people.
Okay, well, Jay, it's about time to wrap up in just a couple of minutes. So I want to thank you so much for being with us today on the show. And anyone listening is going to the Wayne Dyer event on November 23rd. You're going to have a table set up there at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. And you also, you sell t-shirts and you do, last time I saw you were giving out gift cards so that people could try it out for free.
You bet. So we should have $5 gift cards that you can, that we'll be giving out, but as well as that you can purchase to give to other people. T-shirts will be there. Come say hi. It'd be great to talk to you. I'd love to hear your stories.
Wonderful. And so I'm curious about the $5 ones that you're giving out for free. Who donated money to sponsor that?
There's different people that do that. So that's one of the things that Seed Productions, who brings in Wayne Dyer, that's one of the things that they often will do. But we also have private donors that will do that as well, that just want to, they want to spread this good virus of the idea of gifting differently. And once people try it, they go, wow, that's amazing. Of course I want to do this. So it's like the first step towards trying out this wonderful feeling of participating in ending global poverty. And then people are hooked.
Awesome. Well, is there anything that you want to add?
At this point, I'm just really grateful that you could have me on. And I'm really excited about the future of, I hate to be so bold but to say it, but as of humanity, that we're moving towards this place where we are participating with each other and more connection through technology. And my vision for the world is hundreds of thousands of these little fires starting, small projects throughout the developing world, people with birthday parties and giving up Christmas gifts and office parties, hundreds of thousands of these things going off around the world. And that's unstoppable. Like, nothing can stop that. When hundreds of thousands of these things are going off, there's nothing that can stop that. So I look forward to that happening.
You know what I just thought of, for people who are in the recession mode and struggling right now, we buy gift cards, like greeting cards at the store, and they're like $2, $3, $5, $7 for a card.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you still bought regular gifts, but decided to stop buying greeting cards and making your own, you could put that money and then just write a little note and say, I donated this money. You can spend it at UN.org.
Exactly. And that's a phenomenal idea, a card replacement. And actually, on the website, you can actually print off a card. So that's perfect. Instead of spending the $5 on a physical card, put $5 on a gift card and then print it off on the website. And that is actually a physical card that you can give someone.
Awesome. Hooray!
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being with us, Jay, and I'll see you on November 23rd.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So if you're interested in visiting the site, it is UN.org, or you can look up You End Poverty. That's the name of the organization, UN.org. Thank you so much, Jay, for being with us, and thank you for listening. I hope to see you at the Wayne Dyer event on November 23rd. Again, I'll be giving away another pair of free tickets next week, so keep listening for the cue to call for that next week. And up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm going to close the show with a song, and I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Be well. Take care.